May the force be with you. I knew somebody was going to do that. Well, today we continue our At the Movies series, and if you haven't figured it out yet, this week's movie is Return of the Jedi. Now, you don't have to be a huge Star Wars fan to know something about Star Wars, and you don't have to be a huge Star Wars fan to know that the villain in the Star Wars trilogy, the real one, the original one, episodes 4, 5, and 6, the villain in that series of movies was a guy named Darth Vader. Darth Vader. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, just the name conjures images of darkness, and he's one of the most notorious villains in all movies, not just in Star Wars. When I think about darkness, evil, and especially when I think about the dark side, this is the image that comes to mind. Darth Vader. Just his name conjures fear in his enemies. In fact, his name creates fear even in the soldiers in his own army. He's just that bad. He's that mean, that dark, that evil. Every time he shows up in one of the Star Wars movies, he's so bad, he has to be accompanied by this dark, ominous theme music. You know what I'm talking about? Dun, 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 dun. But he's that bad. Every time he shows up, you have to hear that. Everybody thinks that Darth Vader, he's not really human. He's more machine than he is human. And he is completely dedicated to the dark side. So whatever little bit of goodness, whatever little bit of light that might have been left in him went out a long time ago. And Vader doesn't really help that impression either. I mean, he's leading the effort to stamp out good and light in the galaxy. His job is to go to the far reaches of the galaxy and try to hunt down and destroy the good guys. People think he's incapable of anything but darkness. He's incapable of being redeemed. In fact, it's not just what others think about Darth Vader. It's what he thinks about himself. This is an encounter with his son Luke Skywalker, who is ironically one of the good guys. But this, check out this scene.
In accordance with copyright law, the audio from the movie clips that were shown during this sermon have been removed.
It is too late for me, son. It's too late for me, son. What about that? Is it ever too late? Is it ever too late for somebody to turn? To repent and leave the darkness, turn to the light. Darth Vader's story parallels our scripture lesson this morning. It's a famous story about Saul, who is a strict, zealous Jew, and he's angry. He's angry that there is this new Jewish movement that's creating momentum. And there are these people called followers of the way who believe that this man from Nazareth named Jesus, they believe that he is God in the flesh, or he was. And they not only do they believe that he was God in the flesh, but they believe that when he was executed by the Roman Empire, he was put into a tomb, and that 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And Saul thinks that that message that's starting to run rampant around Jerusalem and throughout the ancient world, he thinks that that message is blasphemy. And so he makes it his mission to search and destroy, to find members of this dangerous cult, because he believes these Christians are infidels, and he is on a mission to the far reaches of the known world to wipe them out. And that's where our passage picks up from Acts chapter 9 this morning. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a man, a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I will myself show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked his name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me out this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, no dark side is too dark. Can you do that for me? No dark side is too dark. No dark side is too dark. If the earliest Christians had not been poor and powerless and nonviolent, they probably would have put their own Starfleet together and they would have gone out on a mission to try to neutralize Saul. Because Saul was that dangerous. He was that murderous. He was that ruthless. He was that dedicated. There wasn't really a dark side then, but he was that dedicated to wiping early Christians off the map. Now, I guess that's why this is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, because it represents one of the biggest turnarounds, one of the biggest redemption stories I know of. Because you've got this murderer named Saul, and he's got warrants in his pocket. He's prepared to go and arrest Christians in Damascus, and he seems to be really excited about it. And on his way, on the road to Damascus, to hunt down, arrest, maybe even kill Christians, because we know he's already done that. Acts 7, just two chapters earlier in the book of Acts, he was present when Stephen, the first Christian to lose his life for his faith, Saul was present. And he gleefully watched as Stephen was stoned to death. So he's been known to do that. But on his way to Damascus, all of a sudden, Saul was knocked down, blinded by a light, and in a moment, his whole life changed. In an instant, his world got rocked, and his life was never the same. What happens to Saul on the Damascus Road is so dramatic that he had to have his name changed. He couldn't be Saul anymore because it just didn't seem to fit. His name was changed to Paul. after the Damascus Road experience, Paul became the greatest missionary, one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever known. He started churches all over the ancient world. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. Everywhere he went, he spread light and the good news of Jesus Christ. God got a hold of him. Now, he was dark. He was a servant of the dark side. But God got a hold of Darth Saul, shook him up and down. And that same zeal that he used to have for killing Christians, he turned into a zeal for spreading the good news and for making disciples. Like I said, it's one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture because of this dramatic conversion, this big turnaround in the life of Saul. Now, usually we run into this story just a few weeks after Easter. In fact, the lectionary, if we were to go by the lectionary, this passage would be assigned for the third week after Easter. Now, I know that Easter for us has been a really long time ago. It's been much longer than 3 weeks. In fact, it seems like forever ago. But I would be willing to bet you still remember, right? You remember gathering here, and there were a whole bunch of us. We had to bring in chairs, and there were lilies all around the sanctuary, and we sang some of our best music. It was uplifting, and it was celebratory. You remember Easter? Good. So, you know, We gathered here, and it wasn't just about the lilies, and it wasn't just about the music. It was about the fact that we were celebrating that the tomb is empty. We were celebrating that death had been defeated. Death could not keep a hold on Jesus and couldn't keep him sealed in a tomb. The sting of death has been erased because Jesus is alive and Christ has broken the bonds of sin and death. On Easter, we celebrated that Christ won the victory. That was a long time ago now, right? And sort of the joy of that maybe fade. I don't know. Christ is risen, but so what? What difference does that make for us here in July? Why does the resurrection of Jesus still matter? I think that Acts 9 is an answer to that question. If you read Galatians, Paul's personal account of what happened to him on the road to Damascus, if you read that, it's hard to know. It's like Paul didn't know whether to describe what happened to him as birth or death, because it seemed a little bit like both at the same time. It was like the old Saul died, and this new person was birthed to new life. This new person named Paul, the Apostle Paul. It's a story about God's resurrection power that didn't stop by raising Jesus from the dead in a tomb in Jerusalem. Not a chance. God's resurrection power has now been unleashed in the world, and you can see it if you pay attention. And Acts 9 is a testament to that fact. Acts 9 is a testament that Easter keeps on happening, even weeks and years and centuries removed from that event. Easter keeps on happening. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been set loose in our world, and people who are on the path to work for the dark side can get grabbed, and their lives can get rocked and radically transformed. You can see it in this story about a murderer named Saul. He was an enemy of God. Enemy number one. Now, he thought he was working for God. He was convinced that he was doing the world a favor and doing God's work by killing Christians. But then God grabbed him, opened his eyes, and he was born again. That's good news. Amen. What that tells us is that there's always hope. Now, it didn't look like there was hope. It looked like Saul was doomed to live a life of hatred and darkness and murder. It kind of looked like Good Friday just before Easter when the disciples took Jesus' lifeless body down and they placed it in a tomb. It looked like it was the end. It looked like the dark side had won, like there was no light or hope whatsoever. But then, just as suddenly as that light on the Damascus Road, but then Easter. Then God raised Jesus from the dead. There was light in the darkness. There was life in a place that had been dominated by death. And when we hear the story of Saul and Paul, we realize that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead just won't stop. No way God is going to stop with Jesus. God, Easter keeps happening. It happened on the road to Damascus when Saul dies and Paul is raised to new life. At the end of the very end of Return of the Jedi, there's this scene where Luke Skywalker is doing his the final battle with the evil empire. Darth Vader's there, and he actually gets the best of Darth. But then the evil emperor comes out, and he's killing Luke while Darth Vader watches. And then all of a sudden, well, I'll let you see. Darth Vader is redeemed. He's not even Darth Vader anymore. His name changes to Anakin Skywalker again. He's saved by the love of his son. And that just goes to show you, if this notorious villain named Darth Vader, emissary of the dark side, if even Darth Vader can be redeemed, then nobody is ever too far gone. Nobody is ever beyond redemption. No dark side is too dark. Which means no matter how dark or despairing or hopeless you think your situation might be, Easter, light. God has a way of bringing light out of the darkness. No matter how far gone you think your marriage might be, Easter. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. There is still hope. No matter how far your son or daughter may have strayed, or how much they might have disappointed, or no matter how much brokenness and division there may be in your family, Easter, hope, resurrection, light. God will never give up on His children. Ever. He's still at work in the world. And no matter how despicable or hateful or vile or ruthless a person might be, God still loves them. And God still wants to give them a new heart, a new mind, and a whole new life. No dark side is ever too dark. On a regular week, that would be the end of a tidy sermon about resurrection and redemption. It'd be the end of a sermon on new life and the powerlessness of the dark side in the face of the true light. But this week hasn't been tidy, has it? And it seems like in the life of our nation this week, the dark side has gained some power. Of course, you know what I'm talking about if you've read any or watched any news this week. There's been a lot of darkness. There's been a lot of chaos. This week, in three separate incidents in Louisiana, in Minnesota, and most recently yesterday in Houston, Texas, African American men were shot and killed by police officers. You've probably seen the videos. They've circulated widely. They're disturbing. and gruesome. And then in retaliation, an African-American man in Dallas, Texas, targeted and killed 5 police officers and wounded 7 others. And in other cities around the country, police officers were ambushed and killed. Those are the facts. Now, there's widespread debate over whether or not the police officers in Louisiana and Minnesota and Houston were justified. Were they? Were they not? I don't know. I'll leave that to the experts at the Justice Department. But I certainly understand, given ancient and recent history, I certainly understand why my brothers and sisters, whose complexion is darker than mine, would be suspicious. I definitely understand why there would be grief and anger and most assuredly fear. Because there is no denying that the darkness and evil of racism is still rampant in our society. I also have family members who are law enforcement officers. And most law enforcement officers are good people who just want to serve and protect and be able to go home at the end of a shift and kiss their families. I remember well what it was like for an immediate family member to go out on a call and worry about whether or not he was going to make it back home. So in the wake of Dallas and these other ambushes, I understand why there would be grief, why there would be anger, and most assuredly, fear. There's a lot of fear in our world right now. There's another character in the Star Wars movies. His name is Yoda. And Yoda's wise. He says, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And we know that there's a whole lot of all of those things in our nation right now. The dark side seems very powerful and very dark. But even in the midst of all of that darkness, even in the midst of all of that chaos, we cannot despair because we believe in the resurrection. We believe that no dark side is too dark. And here's how we can prove it. Here's how we can prove that we believe that. We can reflect the light. We can share God's love. And there are a whole lot of people in our country, on the news, on blogs and social media, there are a whole lot of people who are loudly trying to make a point about all the chaos. But you and I can make more than a point. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. We can shine the light of God's love. We can listen and we can love. This week, you and I can talk to somebody of a different race and we can love and we can listen and we can decide not to jump to defend or rush to debate. We can just listen. And love. We can shine the light of God's love. I can tell you this, the dark side hates that. Because no dark side is too dark for God's light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. A light that no dark side can overcome. And you are his witnesses. This morning we're about to sing a song. And as we do, I want to invite you, if you feel led, you can come forward and we can gather around the altar and let's pray. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the chaos. Let's pray that God would give us everything we need to punch holes in the darkness and be conduits of light. Let us stand.